Today we begin the Warren County Radio Bible School with a question about three men. Now what I want you to do is see if you can give me the names of these three men. They are mentioned in Paul's last letter, the epistle that Paul wrote to Timothy that we call 2 Timothy. It's in the last chapter, and of these three men, one of them forsook him. One of them was with him. One of them did him much evil. Do you know who those three men are? There's a number of other people that Paul mentions here, but we're going to look at these three and give an answer to that question. Now here it is. One that forsook him, one that was with him, and one who did him much evil. Well, see if you can make a mental note of who you think those three men are, and I'll be answering that and showing you who they are in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look for the answer to this question. Who was it that forsook Paul? Well, 2 Timothy 4, beginning in verse 9, we read, "Give diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas forsook me, having loved this present world, and went to Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia." Well, we see by verse 10, 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, the one that forsook Paul was a man named Demas. Now, who remained with Paul? Well, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 11. "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is useful to me for the ministry. But Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, bring with thee when thou comest, and the books, especially the parchments." Well, we read at the beginning, Luke was with Paul. Demas had forsaken Paul. Luke was with Paul. Now, who was the man that had done Paul much evil? 2 Timothy 4 and verse 14, the next verse, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord will render to him according to his works, of whom do thou also beware, for he greatly withstood our words." So the answer is, the man that forsook Paul, that is Demas. The man that was with Paul, that was Luke. The man that did Paul much evil, that is Alexander, identified here as Alexander the coppersmith. Let me read this to you from Elam's notes. "While Paul's execution was imminent, yet he expected to see Timothy before it took place and exhorted Timothy to reach Rome before winter. He instructed Timothy to take Mark with him to Rome because Mark was useful to Paul for ministering. Also, Paul wanted the cloak which had been left at Troas and especially the parchments. Only Luke was then with Paul. Demas had forsaken him, having loved this present world, and had gone into Thessalonica. Paul warned Timothy against Alexander the coppersmith. Tychicus, Paul had sent to Ephesus. Crescens had gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Erastus remained at Corinth. And Trophimus was left at Miletus sick." But then Paul says that all had forsaken him. Let me read this, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 16. "At my first defense, no one took my part, but all forsook me. May it not be laid to their account." That is, at Paul's first trial at Rome. When seized and imprisoned the second time, it is thought that after his first imprisonment and trial at Rome, Paul was set at liberty, and after several years of labor was again seized as a leader of the Christians, a second time imprisoned at Rome, tried there, and condemned to die. But he was not condemned to die immediately, or when tried on the first charge made against him. From this lesson we see he was in Rome sometime during his second imprisonment. So odious had Nero made Christianity, no man was found to defend Paul or friend to intercede for him. This reminds us of the seizure and crucifixion of Jesus, even when the apostles forsook him and fled. May it not be laid to their account, Paul said. This reminds us of the prayer of Jesus on the cross for those brutal soldiers who executed him, and Stephen's prayer for those who stoned him. Paul desired that all who forsook him might see their shame, repent, exercise more courage, and be saved. Let me read to you verses 17 and 18. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord will deliver me from every evil work, and will save me unto his heavenly kingdom, and to enter to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. This statement is made in contrast with the one above. Although all human help had failed, God stood by Paul, giving him courage and strength through the promise and hope of the gospel to make his own defense and save himself from immediate execution. That through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and that all the Gentiles might hear. In making his defense, Paul preached the gospel, and in this way the Gentiles were enlightened. Of his first imprisonment in Rome, he said that the things which had happened to him had fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel, and that brethren had been encouraged and emboldened abundantly by his bonds, Philippians 1, verses 12 through 14. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, Paul said. This means that at least from the immediate destruction, and it may also mean from the destruction by wild beast by which so many Christians at that time perished. The Lord will deliver me from every evil work and will save me into his heavenly kingdom. The body might be destroyed, but the soul, the true man, would be saved into the heavenly kingdom. This shows that Paul does not mean here that he thought the Lord would save his life from destruction, but he would strengthen him and enable him to be true and firm against all evil designs and would there to make him renounce Christianity, as some had done under such persecution and had been lost forever. What we know of Paul's life after his first imprisonment is stated as follows. Eusebius gives the early tradition of his last days and states the common belief of the early churches in these words. After defending himself successfully, it is currently reported that the apostle again went forth to proclaim the gospel and afterward came to Rome a second time and was martyred under Nero. This is hence in the epistles and traditions supply all that is known or conjectured respecting this last stage of the apostle's ministry. It is supposed that on being liberated, and writers do not agree as to the precise order, that he visited again parts of Asia Minor and Greece, went to Crete and founded, or more properly strengthened, the churches there. He may have made his long-contemplated journey into Spain and wrote his first epistle to Timothy and his epistle to Titus. After several years of effective labor, he was apprehended again as a leader of Christians and was brought a second time as a prisoner of Christ to Rome. was tried there and condemned to suffer death. His Roman citizen exempted him from the ignominy of crucifixion, and hence, according to universal tradition, he was beheaded by the axe of the litor. It was in the daily expectation of this event that he wrote the last of his epistles, the second epistle to Timothy, which is in that epistle written as the aged servant of Christ looking back to his trials, all surmounted, and forward to the hour he should soon be forever with the Lord, amid his own joy, still mindful of the welfare of others. And we hear his exalted voice, "For I am already being offered, and the time of my departure is come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but also to all them that love his appearing." Now with that, this Sunday school lesson comes to a close, and we're going to do a little bit of a review. It goes about the review about Paul as he went from Athens to Rome. The golden text for this lesson is Romans 5 and verse 1. "Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The lesson text suggested for this review is Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. And who is he that condemneth? It is Christ Jesus that died, yea, rather, that was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or anguish, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Even as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Being inspired and having suffered so continuously as Paul had, and having been so often delivered by the hand of God, he could in all assurance of faith and blessedness of hope make the declarations contained in the reading lesson for this review. Let all who study these lessons so live as to rejoice in this faith and hope. How encouraging, how precious, how exceedingly great are the promises of God our Father. Since the lessons of this quarter embrace Paul's work at Athens, Corinth, Ephesus, and the lessons from some of his letters, is very properly to close it with a missionary lesson. A missionary is one sent on a mission. No man has ever been sent on a greater mission than Paul, or has ever been more faithful to his mission. He was sent to the Gentiles. Some of the lessons of this quarter emphasize this fact and give scriptures which contain his mission. Who can give them here? Christ appeared to him to appoint him a minister and a witness both of the things wherein he had seen Jesus and of the things wherein Jesus would appear to him afterward, and send him to the Gentiles to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. And so we had the hardships that Paul endured in fulfilling his mission. Some of the churches are fine examples in spreading forth the word of God and holding forth the word of life. We will continue next lesson.